Good evening. If you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and look with me, if you will, at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Here we have a group of people pressing upon our Lord Jesus Christ to hear the word of God. And as I studied this, I couldn't help but think they did not press upon him to see some great miracle. Many people did. They did not press upon him so that he could fill their belly. They had a need in their soul. They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And I love this. They heard the word of God from the word of God himself, Christ. I love thinking about it. You may recall Mary when she sat at our Lord's feet. The Lord told us the one thing that is needful. He said, Mary's doing it, sitting at his feet. And hearing his word, the word of God, that's the one thing we need. And I pray that's what we might have tonight. Isaiah told us, hear and your soul shall live. I want to hear. I know you have to hear me audibly right now. But I pray that you and I both might hear him, that we might hear from him. Verse 1 again, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Here comes our Lord on the coast of this sea. In Mark's account, we just read, it's the Sea of Galilee. And his eyes are on these two boats. It says he saw these two boats. There very well may have been many boats. It was a large sea. But his eyes were on these two boats. And he notes here that there were some fishermen that were out of their boats. They were washing their nets. They'd been fishing, and now they're done. And our Lord sees them. He takes note of them. And I'll go ahead and tell you, and you may already know, but the Lord came here for them. He came here for those vile fishermen. Okay? And I just want to point out that those fishermen were not among those pressing upon him to hear his word. They were washing their nets. There was another group of people coming to him, following him, listening to him. They weren't among them. He sought them. Okay? He sought them. Verse 3 says, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Here we're introduced to Simon. Simon Peter, the fisherman. That's what he was. He was a fisherman. Says the Lord entered into his ship. He walked right up and he walked right onto his ship. He didn't ask for permission to. He joined himself to his ship. And I couldn't help but think about this. Of all the ships that not only may have been there, of all the ships in the world, our Lord purposed to join himself to Simon Peter's ship. Amazing grace that sought him. And then he kindly asked Peter to let out a little bit, let the boat out a little bit into the water. We just read that Peter was washing his nets. He was done fishing. He'd been on the boat a long time. Now he's off the boat. Now the Lord's asking him, get back on the boat. Let's go out. Let's take this out into the water. You know, though Peter was ready to go home, the Lord had other plans. Sovereign grace interrupts our plans. Aren't you thankful? He didn't ask Peter if he wanted to go out for a little bit, because Peter probably would have said no. In fact, I know he would have said no. The Lord drew him out. Let's go out. And I love what the end of verse 3 says. It says, he sat down. You know, sometimes I wonder if we shouldn't sit down when we do this. Our Lord did. He sat down and he taught them out of the ship. And I can't help but think what an intimate setting that must have been. You know, when you're sitting down talking, it's intimate, it's sweet. I love just thinking about the fellowship and the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth that they got to hear. Amazing. They wanted to hear him, and he spoke to them. He let them hear him. I love it. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Our Lord, if you look at the end of chapter 4, that this might have been the same people. They were following him. They were hanging on to every word. They were begging him to stay with them. Don't go. He said, I must go preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. And I suppose some of them just followed him here. And they wanted to hear him. He sat down and he taught them, fulfill their request. But now he's done teaching them, and it's time for him to deal with one of his chosen ones, Simon Peter. It's time to deal with Peter. Can you not already see God's grace here? The mere fact that our Lord came to where he was, he could have joined any boat in the world. He could have gone anywhere. And he came to Peter's boat. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to Peter's boat. He brought himself, he brought his word, and he brought his people to Peter. Brought it all to Peter. And now we see a gracious command. He said, launch out into the deep. Peter, we're going fishing. We're going fishing. Verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. I can't help but think that when our Lord told Peter this, surely he must have been a little bit insulted. You see, Peter was an experienced fisherman. If you find me out on a boat, I promise you I have no idea what I'm doing. I probably just want to jump in the water and be silly. You put a fishing pole in my hand, I may catch something, I may not, but once I reel it in, I'm not sure what will happen. Well, not Peter. He knew what he was doing. He was an experienced fisherman. It wasn't just his occupation, that was his life. You remember, after our Lord was crucified, you remember what Peter did, don't you? I go fishing. It's all he knew. It's who he was. He said, Master, we've been doing this all night. As if the Lord didn't know. That may have been the first time in his life where he toiled all night and caught nothing. It very well could have been. Our Lord, I'm fully persuaded of this. I know it. Our Lord purposed that not a single fish was going to get in his net that night. You believe that? If you believe in the sovereign God, you do. Verse 5 again, he said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And again, I can't help but sense some sarcasm here in Peter's response. Well, if you say so, well, all these people are here wanting to be taught of you, so maybe you're up to something. I don't know. Well, okay, at your word, we'll do it. He doubted. Again, by nature, we all doubt. We don't believe him. We don't believe in him. We don't trust him. He doubted. But by God's grace, he complied. All right? The Lord made it so that he complied. Now, I want to go ahead and preface this by telling us what's about to happen was not reliant on Peter's cooperation. Peter going along with this had nothing to do with the outcome. Okay? In other words, what's about to happen is glorious, and Peter's not going to get any glory for it. Just the vessel the Lord was pleased to use. The very fact that Peter complied here, Psalm 110 verse 3, God made him willing. Again, Peter was ready just to go home, but our Lord wouldn't let him. One time. Our Lord made him willing in the day of his power. We're about to see God's power. The man Christ Jesus that walked this earth, he had this whole world that he was walking on in his hand. Whole world in his hand. Peter doesn't have a clue, and none of us do until the Lord reveals it to us. Peter didn't have a clue, but he's about to witness, both physically and spiritually, the majesty and the power and the sovereignty of God Almighty. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now recall, before the Lord came, Peter and these fishermen, they had toiled all night. What that word means is they labored with wearisome effort. They did that all night. and yet they caught nothing. Do we see the picture here? Our labors, our efforts, our works can and do accomplish nothing. Nothing. We need God to save us. His works are the only good works, marvelous, wonderful works that can save a sinner like you and me. He caught nothing on his own. And this great draft of fishes that they caught wasn't Peter's doing. I told you, the Lord didn't need him. He used him. But it was the Lord's doing. I'm sure it was marvelous in Peter's eyes. And it was all according to the Lord's word. He spoke the word and it came to pass. It was all according to his word and his power. He brought those fish into the net. Couldn't help but think of Jonah. I love reading about Jonah. There at the end of chapter 1, we read that the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. The Lord did. You say, well, those people threw him off the boat. Yes, they did. And that too was according to the Lord's will. They prayed and sought the Lord's will in the matter. They feared the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord preserved Jonah. He prepared. You think about that. That fish was just out there being a fish, swimming around like fish do. And the Lord spoke to that fish and directed that fish at this exact moment to come right here. And here comes Jonah. Likewise, the Lord caused every single one of these fish that came into Peter's net. Fish, get in the net. All you fish, get in the net. He made those fish swim into Peter's net, and at that precise moment, they got in the net. Again, I don't know much about fishing, but a memory just popped into my head. One time when I went fishing with my dad, we had the fish in one of those cage net things, and buddy, they were trying as hard as they could to get out. There's no doubt in my mind, not a single one of these fish was trying to get out. Why? Because the Lord put them there. Just like he makes us willing, he makes those fish willing. That's his power. It's the power of God. It's not resisted. It accomplishes what it sets out to do. Verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Those nets that they had been toiling all night to fill and had caught nothing, they were now so full that they were beginning to break. The ship that the net was on was breaking. Then they start spreading some of those fish into another ship. And both of the ships, it says, were starting to sink. Now, I don't know about you, but my brain just can't comprehend that. That just sounds so illogical to me. It doesn't make any sense. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. They're much higher. Infinitely higher. What do you suppose made the difference in the night that they toiled and caught nothing and that very moment when they caught everything? What was the difference? Christ. Well, they tried some new tactics, got some new baits. No, they had the same nets. Our Lord tells us, same net. He said, we're going to go out and you're going to throw your net out for a draft. Same nets. The Lord didn't come up with some miraculous nets. It's the fact that he was there. It's the fact that it was him doing it, not Peter. Christ is always the difference. That's the whole purpose of this message. That's the whole purpose of every message we come and sit here and listen to or stand here and preach. Christ is the difference. He's our message. He's our hope. He's our all in all. It's always Christ. Quite simply, they didn't have him, and now they do. You can see that, can't you? They didn't, now they do. And again, they weren't seeking him. They didn't even ask him to come on the boat. He got on the boat. And then, at this point, you think they were glad he was on the boat? Oh my, you better believe it. You better believe it. I'll go ahead and tell you that this is a wonderful fishing story. Again, I'm not really into fishing, but this is a great fishing story. But the glory of this story isn't the fish. In fact, the whole purpose of this story, it wasn't about those fish being caught. It was about our Lord, the fisherman, going to catch Peter and Andrew and James and John. Look at verse 8. when Simon Peter saw it. And I want to point out the fact that "it" is in italics. Now, no doubt Peter saw what was taking place. He saw the fish. He saw the nets breaking, the boat sinking. But he saw something else. He saw someone else. He saw the Lord. The Lord did this. You know, I've heard this said a lot. The Lord will meet you on the grounds you come on. Peter was a fisherman. The Lord dealt with him with fish, with fishing. Use that. Peter could enter into that, couldn't he? The Lord purposed it so that this would take place. This was the means by which he was going to reveal himself to Simon Peter. And look what Peter cried here in verse 8. When he saw the Lord, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That right there is the cry of someone whom the Lord has caught. That's the cry of someone whom the Lord has drawn. You know, with the net, you draw the fish. That's the cry of someone whom the Lord has drawn to himself. Moments ago, he stood face to face with, literally, yet was far away from the Savior. You understand that? Many people stood face to face with him who knew him not. Until right now, Peter knew him not. Stood face to face with, yet was far away from the Savior. He was as vile as a sinner could be. He just cried that. Now the thought filled his poor heart with sadness. And this is what Peter thought. There's no hope for a sinner like me. That's what happens when we see the Lord. You remember what Isaiah said when he saw the Lord in the year that King Uzziah died? I saw the Lord. He saw his sin. He saw himself for what he was. Like Paul said, "A wretched man that I am." And we don't get beyond that. In this life, we only feel that more and more. Is it not so? You who believed for a long time. "Depart from me." Now, do you think Peter actually wanted the Lord to leave him? Of course not. Just like those people we just read about that were wanting to follow him and hear him and hang on to every word he had to say. But Peter was convinced beyond any reason of a doubt that because of how wretched and vile he was, the Lord must depart from him. "You can't possibly have anything to do with me because I am a sinful man and you're the Lord. The Lord, holy, righteous." But praise God, unbeknownst to Peter, he was the whole reason the Lord came here. Save his soul. Call him out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Lord didn't come there to condemn Peter, though he could have and would have been right to. And same for you and me. He came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, might believe. His people. Peter was one of his people. Peter wrote about in his epistle. He wrote about the elect, the strangers scattered throughout. And by God's grace, he was one of them. Praise the Lord. Salvation came to Simon Peter right then and there. And it comes to every single elect child of God. Every single one of them. Verse 8 again. When Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Peter and all that were with him. We don't know who all was with him. I know his brother Andrew was with him. It seems like the people that were there in the beginning, or at least some of them, might have still been there with him. At this point, we know James and John and maybe some others are on the other boat. They're all there together, okay? They all knew this is an unusual thing that has taken place here. This is extraordinary. This is a miracle that only God could perform. And if we ever witness the power of the Word of God in the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that's how we'll know God's power is in the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. How God speaks to us. How God gives us life and faith in Him. Reveals Christ to us and in us. And if He ever does, we'll be astonished. I'm sure these men were astonished at, well, we just read it, the multitude of fishes that they'd taken. But it wasn't the fish that astonished them. It was the Lord. It was the Lord that astonished them. Look, down here in chapter 5, look at verse 26. The Lord had just healed a man that was paralyzed, couldn't walk, and he forgave his sin. He said, what would be easier, to say, get up, take your bed, and go and walk, or say your sins are forgiven you? And then people saying, well, who are you to forgive sins? Only God can do that exactly. And so he just did both. They might see the power of God cause him to walk and also saved his soul, forgave his sins. Look here what they said when they saw this, Luke 5:26. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, look what they said, we have seen strange things today. I imagine that's what Peter and the men with him thought too. And the word strange there, it means extraordinary. That's an extraordinary event. That's some extraordinary power is what that is. If the power of God is ever revealed to us, it is certain we will glorify God. We will be filled with fear. And like Peter, we'll cry that same cry, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And you may have noticed it, but at the beginning of the message, we saw Peter, when he first spoke to the Lord, called him master. And all that means is teacher. Again, he was teaching, called him master. But now he knows, oh, you're my master and so much more. You're my Lord and my God. The end of verse 10. He said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at verse 9 again with me. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they'd taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, fear not. Just told you, and I believe this, Peter, he thought, the Lord has got to get out of my presence. No man can see the Lord and live. I must surely die. I'm a soul that has sinned. But the Lord said, fear not. Every time I read of our Lord telling his child, don't fear. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Mount of Transfiguration, he told them, they fell down on their face so afraid. Fear not, it is I. It is I, be not afraid. Why? Even though we're vile sinners, worthy of hell and damnation, why should we not fear? First of all, let me point out, it wasn't just a man telling them that. It's God himself telling them that. If God tells us not to fear, brethren, we have nothing to fear. A man may say, well, you're fine, and as sure of heaven as if you're already there. That means nothing to me. We should run and flee from such a thing. But if the Lord says, Peter, fear not. Yay, Lord. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We read that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief, he said, it's a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. We don't have to fear, brethren. We don't have to fear. Well, I'm too vile. Yeah. But I'm not too vile for God's amazing grace. Oh, no. Our Lord saved these four men. And I love thinking about this, too, because all through the Scriptures, our Lord would save, he would enter a family, he'd save one, not the other. He saved two sets of brothers here. And not only two sets of brothers, they weren't upstanding citizens, great, outwardly righteous, church-going, God-worshiping people like, you know, everybody thinks they are. They were fishermen. I don't think that's a highly reputable occupation. And he saved them, two sets of them, two sets of brothers that were fishermen. And again, they weren't seeking him. I got to thinking as I looked at this, I wondered a couple things. One, when our Lord asked Peter to, because it says he prayed him that he asked him politely to thrust out the boat a little. I wondered if he even did. Because we know the command came right after him. There wasn't no disobeying that command. But two, I wondered when our Lord was on that boat, if Peter let the boat out, then he was on the boat. I mean, almost for sure, right? I wonder if he even listened to what the Lord was teaching them. Doesn't ultimately matter because the Lord saved him anyway. But I'm just saying, he wasn't seeking him. Do we see that? I want us to see that so clearly. He did not seek him. He wasn't seeking him. He wasn't looking to be saved. He just wanted to catch some fish and go home. But like we just sang, in tenderness, he sought them. Oh, the love that sought him. Oh, the love that sought Simon Peter. He caught him with that irresistible grace and effectual call. And as the psalm sings, in wondrous grace, he brought him into his fold. Not just any fold, his fold. The fold of God. Amazing. Now look at the end of verse 10. He said, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And from now on, these four fishermen are going to be fishers of men. Gospel preachers, his servants. They were going to be his disciples. He was going to send them out. They were going to walk with him and talk with him and hear him preach and learn from him, be taught of him, and then he'd send them out to go preach the gospel. And the Lord was going to use them greatly. I want to show you Matthew's account. We'll come back here and hold a finger in Matthew. We'll turn right back there too. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 18. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, this Matthew's account is just as glorious. It says a lot less concerning this account, but it's no less glorious. I wanted to look at Luke's account because there's a lot there I wanted to be able to talk about. But look here, Matthew 4, verse 18. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishers." So he obviously saw them before they finished, right? In our account, they were done. They were washing their nets. He came up there and he was watching them long before. In verse 19, "He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Now, again, keep your finger here. We'll come right back. But can we enter into the power displayed right here? Why on earth would they up and leave everything? I mentioned it wasn't just their job. I could take or leave my job, but this was their life. It's all they knew. Why would they up and leave it to follow him and become fishers of men? I'll tell you why. The power of God. The power of his word. We think we do what we want to do, don't we? And yet everything that happens is him doing what he wants to do. It's him accomplishing his will and his purpose in the earth with all men, with all women. These men were going to go out and they were going to declare the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. We know this is the means God has been pleased to use to reveal himself to his people. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Foolish that he would use a man like Simon Peter, a vile fisherman, to declare the glory of God. That's the foolishness of it. It's not the message. The message is wisdom. The message is Christ. Nothing foolish about the message. But the foolishness of him using a fisherman to be a fisher of men. That's the foolishness of it. And yet that's the very foolishness God has been pleased to save his people, to reveal salvation to his people. Now look here in our text, verse 11. Luke 5:11. "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Again, I am not a fisherman. I think we've established that, haven't we? But I didn't ask anybody that I know likes to fish, but I made this assumption, so hopefully I'm right. But I'm assuming most fishermen probably are not fine with parting with their ship. Even if it's kind of like selling a truck to move on to a new truck, you probably still like that old truck. They left their ships behind without even thinking about it. No hesitation. They just parted with it. They weren't concerned about, well, they didn't take their nets. They didn't even take the fish. They were just amazed at the multitude of fishes that they had caught. Left it all behind. Again, they had the Lord now. What else did they need? And look back here in Matthew's account. Look at James and John. Matthew 4:21. It says, "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." They left the ship, they left the nets, they left the fish. James and John left their father right there in the ship. Sounds kind of cruel, doesn't it? Why? Why would they do that? Why would they follow him and their father stayed in the ship? Only one reason. It's because the Lord didn't call him. The Lord didn't call him. If he had, then there's no doubt he would have followed him, just like they did. The Lord didn't call him. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them." The Lord knows them that are his, and they follow me. That's exactly what happened here. All four men right here that the Lord called, they followed him. Whoever among that crowd that was following him, desiring to hear the word of God, whoever among that crowd was his sheep, they heard his voice and they followed him. The same irresistible, effectual call. I reckon that Zebedee, their father, got to keep both the ships, all the nets, all the fish, all the profit. And yet the sad reality is that man went home, and unless the Lord saved him, died empty-handed. Nothing. And yet, his two sons, and I don't know if they were his only sons, if he had more sons, I don't know. But those two sons, and Peter and Andrew, they didn't go back home. In fact, they had a new home. Where are we going? I don't know, but we're following you. They left that day with a whole new life. They followed the Lord. I just said, where are we going? I don't know. He didn't have a place to lay his head. Where are we going to lay our head? I don't know. This doesn't sound safe. There's nothing more safe than following the Lord. Do we not find that to be so in our daily life? As the providence of God unfolds, yeah, we doubt, just like Peter did. When he went out on that boat, do you think he thought, we're going to bring home all these fish? No. And he sure didn't suspect that he was about to not even go home that day. He sure didn't expect to find himself believing on Christ and following him wherever he goes. Oh, but that's exactly what happened. You see, it wasn't long ago, that very day, maybe an hour ago, fishing was his life, but not anymore. No, they had Christ, their life. All four of those men, Christ was their. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is our life. Had a whole new life. He that hath the Son hath life. Whatever we think life is, it's not. I'm an accountant. That's not my life. That's a job. Christ is my life. You understand that? This is it. I'll close the message. God has a people that he has chosen unto salvation from before the foundation of the world. Here's the whole point of my message. He will call them to himself. You don't have to wonder if he will. He will. We just read it. He did. He will. He most certainly will. It's an effectual call that will cause us to straightway forsake everything, no matter what it is, and follow him. Nothing can get in the way. If God has saved us, nothing can get in the way of following him. Why? Because he saved us. We're not saving ourselves. If we're saving ourselves, if we're keeping ourselves, we're not going to be saved. We're going to fall away. We're going to be lost forever. But he comes to us, he saves us, he calls us with a holy calling, and we follow him. And I love to tell you this. I love to rejoice knowing this is who God is. This is my God. This is my God. And I know these things can, I'm trying to expound them, I'm trying to explain them the best I know how, but honestly, it can only be experienced. I pray what these men experienced, I pray we'll spiritually experience the same thing. On one occasion, Peter Peter said, "Lo, we've left all and followed you." When I first ever read that, I thought he was bragging. He wasn't bragging. The Lord said, "There's no man that hath left father, mother, wife, who's not going to receive manifold more in the kingdom of God." Peter said, "We've left all and followed you." He was just stating a fact. By God's grace, he did. But know this. It wasn't Peter. It was Peter. But it was the Lord. It's like Paul when he said, "I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." God works this in us. He makes us willing to hear him. Again, our Lord came teaching, and Peter just, I got some nets to clean. I'm doing something here. If God has purpose to save us, brothers and sisters, he's going to save us. He's not going to ask for our input on the matter. We're not going to have to sit down and think it through. Well, let's make a budget here. He'll make us follow him. And we'll be so happy to follow him. This was the best day of Peter's life. My prayer for you and me, and for my kids and your kids, is that the Lord might do for us what he did for him. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Lord, get on my ship. Or better yet, put me on your ship. Let's have fellowship. Let's be fellows in the same ship. Do for us what you did for them. Call us to yourself. Lord, don't leave me alone. Don't let me go through this life without any acknowledgement of you, any concern for my soul, any honor and praise and worship for you in my heart. Lord, save me. Call me by your grace. Enable us to hear your word with the heart and follow you. Amen. Lord, bless his word.